What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the comedy. Oh wait, I was about to do a comedy club intro. Like, welcome to the improv here at the whatever. Hey guys. Oh my god, it seems like only an hour ago we were together doing a podcast. And now we're back. Thanks for tuning in. It's another fun-filled, hopefully technically superior episode of What's for Dinner. Yes, joining you, my lovely listeners, is me, your buddy Flip Schultz, and my lovely wife and co-host.
Threw up when he said that.
I did a little bit.
A little bit.
Allison is here as always, and Allison can't hear herself. You can't
Am
hear.
Am I in?
If I had a nickel.
Is it in all the way?
It yeah, honey, you're in. Are
I
you
don't know.
Do you
I
not
hear
anything?
That's okay. I don't care. I hear you guys. That's all that matters.
You don't hear yourself?
You know what? I hear myself plenty. All the voices in my head keep talking to me. We're good.
I hear you.
Oh, that's all that matters. That's the most important thing is our guest.
I got this. Would you calm yourself, little miss? I'm driving this truck.
I didn't
You just read the map.
All I said was I was preparing you to give the intro.
I know. Thank you, baby doll.
You're very welcome.
I like how he just took off his ring right before.
Yes.
Well, no, because if I wear my wedding ring, it keeps clanking on the microphone.
I was like, I don't want it. You haven't even introduced me yet, and I feel like I'm. I guess I gotta decipher this battle between this husband and wife here.
We brought you over here for a certain reason.
I'm the referee.
Yes, you're going to be our Dr. Phil for today.
I'm in your shrink chair.
Yes, our guest this week, ladies and gentlemen, very funny comic, one of my oldest LA comedy friends, and Canadian. So, you know, we don't hold that against them. But
or hold it against me.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, the very funny Adam Richmond is here.
Yay! Thank you. I'm high all week.
Not yet. Actually, Allison is preparing a little salad.
Wait a second. Is that a play on our, guest? He's high all week. First of all, I just want everyone to know the circumstances. I'm on like their couch and like the most comfortable, relaxed position. This is the
You're not in the couch. You are in my relaxing chair. He's in our recliner.
I know you guys have had sex on this chair before.
Yes, we have.
I'm just
actually
trying to imagine.
Right where you're sitting is my
favorite. Oh, for sure. Your face has been here and Allison's vajayjay has been right about here.
No, she's just kind of hopped up and down.
She's not denying it.
No, that sounds right.
The only way I could be more relaxed is if you guys had a boom and it could just. I actually couldn't hold this microphone.
That's how we keep you awake.
Okay.
You got
to
hold your arm up.
Otherwise, I'm like, this is a great podcast. What's for dinner, guys? Seriously.
He just wakes up an hour later. Did we start yet?
Seriously, what's for dinner? Yeah, that's great. We had Adam here the first 5 minutes. He was funny, and then he fell asleep for 55.
But he woke up to plug himself.
AdamRichmondComedy.com.
And Allison actually prepared a little something for you. For those listening, Adam, living in California, is also a patient.
A marijuana advocate.
Yes. So Allison just prepared him
a
nice little
hors d'oeuvre. The green stuff.
I just tossed him a little salad.
You guys, it's like, podcasts are very interesting because we're actually speaking to somebody and we feel like we have an audience, but they're not here right now. So we don't know what they're doing. Now it's just your cat sitting in the corner staring at me.
Actually, our cat, I just locked in the bedroom, so I don't know what you're seeing.
You broke the fourth wall.
You're already hallucinating. Batman's watching you down there.
It just flips. Flipping Allison's two cats in the corner going, this guy sucks. Meow.
By the way, I'd like to point out Adam now has put the microphone on his chest. It literally is just right under his mouth.
Just ready to smoke. This way I can multitask.
I think you found your boom solution.
You're very recumbent.
And there he goes.
Can you not use words like recumbent, whatever it was, this early in the day? I mean,
dude, it's 3:30.
And I'm a cunning linguist.
Oh, it's going to be one of those shows.
I think we should have a master debate, if you know what I mean. Go.
Maybe on pubic relations.
You know what I also like? I want to say, just because I like your place, you know when you have people, you can do this, and I know Flip will for sure do this.
Would you hold the mic to your face?
When you see people's, like, you go to their house, and they have, like, pictures on the wall, you're like, oh, this is nice. And then you walk to the next one, oh, this is nice. This is really good. Oh, wait. And then you go to the one, there's, like, a mirror, you look in the mirror, like, wow, what do you call this?
What artist created that?
What is this? Perfection? I think she got
your,
it
your reflection. I did. You're like, oh, I see.
Because so, sure.
To me, you were just pointing at things. I'm like, well, that's the mirror. I don't know why you wouldn't.
I'm too stuck in your chair right now to get up and actually do the
but,
visual
I mean,
joke.
I feel it.
Hold
it's
on,
like
I gotta
the
finish
artist.
Smoking, guys.
The artist that created Adam Richman,
right?
Is who he speaks of.
My parents who hate each other.
Oh,
that's not true. Jewish parents always get along.
No, they hate each other.
There's never been a time in
are
history
are they together
where two Jews
or?
Well, you know what? They oh. made you, and that's what was perfect
yeah, their
about
sperm
the
was
relation.
Great. I actually have a bit about my father. Goes they because they have still friends in common. They're, you know, the little Jewish scene that is Toronto. They're bound to have some friends that are in common. And my father goes to me. Yeah, I was at a party last week, and I saw your mother. I'm like, oh yeah, did you talk to her? He's like, no. What would I talk to her about? I'm like, oh yeah, you guys got nothing in common.
Not a fucking thing.
Like kids or grandkids. Hey, mom, this is dad.
Do you have siblings?
You know, you might as well pretend you don't even know her and try to fuck her again.
You know? You'd be like, hey, do you come here often?
And I do, yeah, exactly. She points to her vagina.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, only twice, bitch. But I said to her, then,
but then, you,
like,
then she points to her tits. You go, oh, that looks
yeah,
familiar.
That came her 48
and then the hair, yeah.
But then they go, like, yeah, cause what else are you going to talk to people at the party? You know, like, have small talk versus, like, the one person you have so much in common with. It's like, you know, talking, hey, did you see the game last week? Or nice tits on that chick. Hey, is that bean dip? Oh, my God. Wow. And versus, like, my mother is like, oh, my God, we have a son.
Yes, exactly. Do you remember that
he's
time?
He's in Hollywood. He's doing comedy. He travels around the world. How you doing?
My God.
Oh, they put out guacamole now. I got to go.
And it was
your mother sounds like your
father. Oh, man.
You really need to differentiate between those character voices.
That was always my father.
Hi, I'm his dad, and I'm his mom.
Hey, mom. Hey, Adam, it's your mother calling.
That's like that family guy.
What the hell? Why did you call me on your birthday?
I remember when I squoze you out of my vagina all those years ago.
And all of a sudden, her Canadian accent is now very New York-y.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, Adam, what the hell's your problem? Listen, Canadian.
Hey,
hey, hey, what, you live in an igloo? Hey, you want some back bacon, son?
Hey.
Mom, you should stop smoking the crack.
Yes, mother.
Hold on, I gotta go to recline position again.
Do you want me to, here, I'll be your boom mic.
Okay,
boom mic.
Thanks, be my boom. Thank you. Oh, that's perfect.
Move it out of the way for the
podcast. I wish I could take a picture right now of this.
This it's is just, how the podcast
it's just Allison literally leaning over the couch holding one mic while Adam is reclining and she's holding the mic in front of him and he's smoking a bowl. You look like Caesar.
A podcast?
A podcast?
Who writes this stuff?
Obviously you.
Clearly not me.
We should have a segment of our podcast called Podcast where I just blast out our fucking
guests. Well, you know what I always wanted to do? When way back in the day when I first started this, I had a partner for a couple episodes named Dave Nickerson, very funny guy.
Dave Nickerson, he's tall.
And the way it would work is he would get stoned and I wouldn't, and we'd just kind of, you know, riff and whatever. And then he had to move, which sucked because we really had good rapport. But I thought if he was still out here, we would have called the show with that format. Him stone, me not stone.
Stone cold.
I like it.
Or stone cold sober.
Stone cold sober.
Maybe that'll
stone
be a segment.
Stone cold.
Now it's time for stone cold sober with Adam.
I don't like it. If you're going to hold the boom, can you pull it up above my head?
Like,
hello?
It's, like it's a penis
like it's
in
a
his
boom.
Face.
Oh, is that a penis in my head? It was like the first joke.
I like how you're doing Adam is doing visual jokes right now on an audio podcast.
All
right,
for those of you listening, I pretended that the microphone was a penis banging me in the face, which was incidentally the first joke I wrote in stand-up comedy.
And also your experience in the Cub Scouts.
That's true. Cub Scouts? Boy Scouts.
Sorry. Don't want to get weird.
I actually been doing a Boy Scout bit. That's a good lead-in. Thanks for throwing me an intro to my material flip. But do you know that recently the Boy Scouts announced their continued stance on an anti-gay policy?
Mm-mm.
Everybody, Boy Scouts, anti-gay.
Yeah.
Anybody else think that's a little bit of
hypocrisy?
That's
like the origination of gay.
Yeah, right. Considering you got the term "scouting boys" in your title name.
Seriously.
But I go. And the joke is like, but we got rules in Boy Scouts. We got rules. First rule: no faggots. Now tie up your handkerchiefs and put on your shorts, fellas, because we're heading out to the woods to cuddle up in the darkness all night. Tommy, work on your sewing batch. Mark, Ricky, rub two. I'm going to pitch a tent.
I love it. That's
nice.
Fucking
brilliant.
Like
Flip's approval. He doesn't laugh. He's like, okay.
Nice.
That's a joke I probably could have written.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We are very similar.
Oh, my God.
That's the one thing. Like, Adam and I, we met, like, we talked about this. One of the first guys I met in L.A. You remember the joke that that I did at your old show that you used to have on Melrose at that upstairs bar? What was the name of that bar again?
It could have been Beverly. Was it on Beverly? Yeah.
Or maybe it was Beverly.
I just started that room. And it worked for me. I met, like, so many people through
it. Oh, it was a fun room.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I did that joke about the mischievous dog. Yeah. Do you remember that bit?
What was the joke?
It was basically some person, I think it was in San Diego or something, had a dog that got out of their apartment and attacked their neighbor and really tore the throat apart. And the person was charged with keeping a mischievous animal. And I said, no. Dennis the Menace is mischievous. This is a killer fucking dog. It's like, oh, my dog is so... He's just ripped my throat apart. He's so mischievous. And then he tore my flesh off. He's such a scamp.
We're into the show. We like to perform.
Yeah, we like
to
act.
Comedy's now become, only in the last few years, has become this really safe, sad, like sappy kind of.
Well, it's not so much.
Not everyone is like that. It's just been acceptable to be like that. I'm not saying you people are only doing that. It's just become acceptable to be like very mediocre on stage versus actually giving people a show, you know?
Well, I think it's more about the attitude of a lot of the comics that are big right now. Is all about just cheap kind of laughs, sex, and
well, which guys are you talking about? Because I think the best guys aren't. Have you ever been like?
No, I'm not saying the best. I'm saying most of the guys that are it right now.
Like
not.
Who?
I don't want to say names.
I know, but we're talking about big guys like Larry the Cable Guy, like stuff like that. Like
No, because Larry knows what he is.
Right.
He
but that has its market for that.
He's got his market. He's well aware of what he's selling. He's not trying to be anything more than what he is, and I respect that.
Well, I'm a big fan of Bill Burr, and
Burr.
I know, but what I like about him is he's a comic that's actually saying real things, and he's getting big. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Same with Louis C.K.
Right.
Same with Doug Stanhope.
Louis though is a little bit of the fat nerd complaining about being a fat nerd, and he's still great, no doubt. Louis is great, but there's still
Louis,
a little bit of that sad, you know, sad guy, and that's what his show's about, really.
Yeah,
and I'm just being honest.
I'm not telling you
I don't like him. He's huge. He's a great comic, and there's a market for it. I'm just like, I always talk about the spectrum being greater than just these, you know, the nerd, alternative comics, quote unquote alternative comic. Because, like, you wouldn't, you know, you talk about, like, being geeky or something, like, growing up, but I don't consider you, like, a nerd comic, you know? You know, I like comic books when I was a kid, you know? I don't consider myself a nerd. I also like pussy, you know?
I don't recall
comic
that
books
ever.
About pussy, especially.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't really know. The spectrum is to be called anything. Like, we're all alternative to each other, I guess, is my point. You know, none of us are the same.
No,
me and
but
you are similar in ways, but we're also completely different.
Like, I can't get a fucking word in edgewise. That's what
I love
about Richmond.
You got me high now.
It's like, well,
yeah, but
starting off.
I think did it. No. Here's the thing. Okay, nobody's alternative. We're all alternative to each other. Louis said, I was a nerd. I didn't like was.
You got 9 different points.
The name the name of the show will just be Adam Richmond. Well, Flip, just go to somebody.
What do we have for dinner? Apparently, Adam Richmond.
Man, I'm full. I am full on Richmond tonight.
I'm full of Richmond.
Oh, my God.
I want some
apparently,
dessert.
This is only a half an hour show today.
I want dessert. I want Richmond dessert.
Oh, baby.
Say that.
That look.
If
that
you guys were a
little
bit more bohemian.
You know what? I won't shave.
That's what you consider bohemian. Just keeping a really hairy vajage.
Vajage? Fucking underarm? I want to like, get fucking...
I'm bohemian. It's like just like hair just shooting up out of every angle.
Half Sasquatch, half bohemian.
What do you need? I'll stop using deodorant?
What the fuck are you doing this for?
Yeah, this is... Wait.
Well, because he said to be a bohemian.
I think bohemian is more just like, hey, let's all fuck whoever we want.
Well, that's just
we're not that, like that.
But there's no podcast.
Yeah,
we just laced that pot with some shit. You're gonna pass out in a second. We're gonna have our way with you.
This is what gets Allison Rand.
Yes.
Who's Randy?
Oh, you don't know.
Who's Randy?
That's the guy who's been splorking the old hoo ha.
Splorking.
Anyhow, since we're this, there's no direction in your What's for Dinner podcast, which
not
I like, because then we can talk about anything. I just want to clear about stand up comedy is there's a difference between doing someone who can do 5 minutes and be like, yeah, I'm such a loser, I can't pay my bills. Next joke, and everyone's like, no, that's sweet, let's give him a little applause. Versus like showing up to be the entertainer for the night. Like the jukebox is broken. The band didn't show up. We got a bunch of unruly people and a microphone speaker set. Do you think you can entertain them for an hour? If you can do that, you're a comedian, you know? So whatever you do in the lines of that, you're a comic. And I'm not saying you can't work towards that, too. Like, I'm not saying you haven't earned that. Oh, you can only do 20 minutes. Well, you're not a comedian. I'm not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand there's a process, but you should appreciate the process. And I'm not famous. You're not famous. But we're making a living off being a stand-up comic.
Well, let's raise the bar.
You're a little famous.
I'm
you are
quite
famous.
Known in Norway.
The two of you are quite famous in my eyes.
We have some, you know, some sort of popularity. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean. You're not selling out clubs based on your name. Because I was having this discussion with somebody else not too long ago at the Improv, actually. I forgot who it was. But we were talking about headliner, the term headliner. What determines a headliner? I say to me, a headliner is somebody who can go in front of a crowd, go in front of an audience in any place, do 45 minutes to an hour, and depending on the venue, do really well or fucking crush. But who could do the solid time with solid material. And this person said, no, a headliner is somebody who can go to a place and sell it out. Not doesn't matter if they're really funny or not. It's if their name.
I don't know. I agree with you.
You agree? Okay. Because
that's what we do, and we know that like some places are packed. I just was up in Sacramento this weekend. Their capacity is 250, and I sold out a couple shows. What's the difference? They don't know who I am. I mean, some people knew who I am. They came to see me, but I'm saying like...
But see, to me, it doesn't even matter.
I'm called the headliner that night.
Like, I remember when I was starting out, like, back in Florida, there were guys who came into my home club all the time who would close a show. I'd never heard of them before, but they destroyed for, like, 45 minutes. To me, that's a headliner.
I know. I guess what this guy considers a headliner, yeah, that's what I consider a headliner, too.
Maybe in Vegas, a headlining act is
a
different thing.
Where nobody was famous, you know, and every show had a headliner. Like, what are you talking about?
I agree with you there, too.
Technically, the headliner is any guy that's closing... The show.
The last person to go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I went to the Improv when you're like the last person up after like the 15 comics. Like, and our headliner night doing 6 minutes.
I'm not your headliner. I'm just a guy going last.
I'm just the last guy. Exactly. I'm just the last guy.
Running.
Yeah, I think headliner depends. So do you, a headliner depends more on time
if you
than
have the ability
drawing
to do,
power.
Well, for sure, man. I mean, you can do the job. It's awesome. Like to know, people know you're hired because they know you can do the job. So. Some clubs can't afford these comedians, you know, guys that are famous. And there's guys that are famous that suck at comedy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's be clear on that. So that guy is wrong in the sense that, like, okay, sure, he can sell it a room. For Robert De Niro is doing comedy this week at the Laugh Factory. He's going to sell out. Yeah, and how funny is he going to be?
So the other day, I'm walking.
You talking to me?
And I see this guy, and I go, hey, fuck you. Good night.
Hey, Robert De Niro! He's signing autographs after.
He's you should have seen the faces. If you guys could only see his face, he was the perfect De Niro. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
there
yeah,
you
that's
go.
Also a visual
I know.
For
that's
his
the
podcast.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. We're the visual.
Well, you can't.
Podcast.
Sometimes you can't go into a character, an impression, and not do like if I do De Niro, like, are you talking to me? Yeah. But if I go, you talking to me?
Here's a good. This is a good impression for a podcast, though. Here's my impression of my Asian landlord. All right, Asian landlord. Okay, ready?
Are you gonna yell?
Adam. Can you pay the rent, man? You owe me money, dude. You're like 3 weeks late. Oh,
that's
he's
good.
Third generation Californian. I just
there you go.
I just wanted to get.
Here is my impression.
I wanted to do like a stereotypical.
I was expecting you to make the face the whole time.
His grandmother's was came over. And his actually mother was also born here. So
it's a very multi-layered impression.
Yeah.
This is my best impression podcast. This is my Marcel Marceau impression.
It was a mime.
You don't know Marcel Marceau?
The name, sure.
He was a mime.
He's like the most famous mime. Famous. So that was his one
was right.
Mime to drop.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I knew the name. I just
you really don't hear about famous mimes anymore.
I know,
you
that's know.
Who talks about
them? No, but
there's a mime show.
Do you think there's like mime conventions of just a?
There
it's got to be the quietest convention ever.
Right now.
Allison, I love the concoction
the
going on over there.
Dude,
I'm like,
I made
she's
so
just
many.
Like, I came down here to just do podcasts. Next thing you know, there's 19 different weeds laid out. She's like, "Oh, Adam's coming over. Looks like we're gonna get him high."
No, but I just have like a little taster of each one. I have like a little nug of each.
She's
one.
Like, it's like a Tupperware party.
You know
party.
What? I should get a like a loot bag before I go for you guys.
I wish I don't even have it. It's just tasters. I like to make little mixes.
Don't forget these over here. These are mine.
Yeah, he's got a couple. He's got a few. What are we going to look
That's
up?
The thing
Damn
about
it.
Weed.
I
really enjoy it. I hope my
mime
parents aren't listening today. But
yeah,
I enjoy it at all times.
A mime convention has to be the most quietest convention ever. It's just like...
I used to dress...
And everybody's just waving and everybody's stuck in boxes sitting down.
I forget that we're actually recording things sometimes and not just hanging out. You know?
Well, but holding the microphone and having earphones on.
I was about to put it down. I'm like, oh, God, I guess I'm still talking.
There is a mic stand behind you, but no, it would never reach you.
I'm okay.
Why don't I just
get up and perform? How about I tell you some jokes, guys? Ha, ha. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my rock.
Let me ask you a question about, okay. Now, first of all, take your shoes off,
sorry,
my thing. My God. Take your shoes off if you're going to put your feet up there.
First mime convention in Chittagong. There's an eventful first mime convention. I just found this on the internet.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Very
Flip just took off my shoes. Very seductive.
Well, you're sitting.
Shut up!
You're sitting on my recliner with your dirty Canadian shoes on there.
Those Canadian. Those shoes were born in America.
Well, is it? I don't even know where this is from, but there's some other country that had.
We're done with mime, honey.
Oh, well,
we still like we've moved from mime.
What was the question you got?
I wanted to ask you a question. Now
I want your questions.
Okay. You started comedy probably around the same time I did, like early 90s?
Late 97.
Okay, so a couple years after me. Yeah. You started in Canada, and I'm not meaning this to sound insulting or trying to
I'm already insulted, Flip.
Totally.
Trying to be a smartass.
Listen, Philip.
Adam? Mr. Richmond?
Philip, Flip.
How much Ritalin were you on as a kid?
None.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was actually my question. Like, were you always this like loud and like just beyond manic energy as a comic, or did you start kind of slow and then just started?
I was way louder. I think now I've got controlled chaos.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if you guys haven't seen Adam, I mean, he's hilarious, but because he is like just a supernova of explosive energy on stage.
But I also know when to dial. Like in my head, like you see me do more shorter sets when I'm here. And, like, I guess my headline set has become more of, like, a little bit more up and down, controlled chaos.
A little bit more.
Where it's that, like, you know, more like a musical set where it's, like, I know when to bring it down. And and I know that if I'm doing an hour, they literally can't be laughing at a certain, pace, like, so much. People literally need breathers.
Absolutely.
So you design jokes to not necessarily fail, but to be, like, less of, to give
a punch,
them. Yeah, to give them some stuff. Oh, okay. Like, I feel my opinionated stuff in the middle where I talk about, like, the schnarfers and the political correct stuff and, like, Cookie Monster having to sing about vegetables and using the word African-American, stuff like that. It's like, people are listening to me. They're funny, and they're just, but they're not, like, ha ha, like, hurting you. And it's like, at that point, they're just listening to me, and then I do my impressions, it brings it down, and then I know at the end is to,
But even sometimes when you do, because, like, I've seen you do some of the those kind of intermediate bits out here, and even then, it seems like you're just selling the shit out of it.
I sell it. I just think it's, when I'm doing shorter sets, it's all, like, pedal to the metal. It's just different when it's now, and I've been doing more longer sets the last, like, month, so I feel like I've been working on that, and I feel it,
And do you find that it's
shit out.
I love it. I'm trying to have this conversation with Adam about comedy, and he's just like trying to hold the microphone in the bowl. So now Allison is again putting the mic up to him.
This is working.
This is like some high school AV club kind of thing.
I'm like, yo, man, hit this before the teacher comes back.
The microphone is now on fire.
He's actually using the microphone as a bowl right now, everybody.
If you could figure that out.
That would be oh my God,
the
a
perfect
microphone
concoction.
Bowl. The bowl
as a comedian, that's a good present.
Well, you know what they have, like from my store, they have something called a G pen, which is basically like you put concentrates in it, and it hides it. It almost looks like it's in there where it looks like it's an electronic cigarette. And
we should make one. I think you guys are
going to
make
one. Clubs, you could take those things into places.
Allison needs some more bracelets.
I know, I'm a little insane, aren't I?
And Allison, Flip, also in response to what you're talking about, you are also the same way. On stage. Yeah, man. Why not? You're pedal to the you might not be as loud, but you're pedal to the metal.
You've pulled it back a little bit.
I've grown like in my later years as comic, I've learned to because if I could show you early videos of me, I used to come on stage to that song.
I don't run around as much. I'm not like all over.
No. But I'm not loud. Like
I like the volume.
It works for you. Yeah. Like, for me, I don't think
But I'm telling you, when I don't do it, the thing is, after doing the volume, when I bring it in and they're listening to me and I have jokes where I'm just talking to the microphone like this, they're, like, so in tune with it. It's amazing.
That's your voice. It's totally your voice.
Well,
it
brings
it
down. So, I know.
I mean, like, the peaks and valleys. That's your voice.
Yeah, but, and that's exactly.
Perfect.
And I'm saying to you, like, I agree with what you're saying. I am fucking loud. There's no doubt. And I want to be. But I'm actually, I guess, giving myself credit for growing and being less loud than I used to and realizing that when the power was to use it and when not to. But energy-wise, it's like everything is accounted for, and so are you. Like, you're not wasting your time on stage. And I don't like looking at notes or saying, what else should we talk about?
As far as structure, both of us. I think both of us.
Yeah,
without
choreography is involved in this, you know?
Totally. And I think you and I, myself on the back of your head, you and I both go up on stage, whatever set we're doing. We know what we're doing. We have our set. We have our plan. We don't really stumble unless the crowd isn't going with what we planned. We have so much material. I think we can just go, okay, that's not working. Switch gears to this real quick, you know, with that. Yeah. And it seems kind of seamless. But I know what you mean, like, guys.
And I don't want to talk to the audience. For a longer set, at some point, you know, we have little places where you bring the crowd in, talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Because you got to, because you can't, you know, sometimes they don't want to shut up for an hour. You got to give them a chance to speak. So that's also being professional and knowing that, too.
I also like it, too, because whenever I do, because I love doing crowd work. I really do. And I think the crowd gets a kick out of it, because whatever happens in that moment will never happen again. It's one of these once-in-a-lifetime moments where... Because you might, I mean, like, you know, I have, like...
You also have moments where you fake it, too, like, fake that
crowd.
Oh, okay,
you
know?
do that little...
We both do that. It's like little nuances where you're like, oh, that guy's the gay guy, or this, you know, oh, this...
Look
at you, like, oh, I like boobs, so I just find the girl with the boobs, and, oh, I like when you laugh because your boobs move. Like, it could be anybody.
Right. That's the thing, like, I mean, admittedly, I have jokes that seem off the cuff, but are planned,
that's
but
exactly
they get me into a point where I do improv with the crowd.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And at those moments,
you can do it anyhow. It just you don't. I want to prepare to give these people jokes versus decide what's going to happen. Maybe my brilliance will all make it all come together on stage tonight. Like that's not professional. You know. You know what I mean? Like yeah. The actual improv shows. Like at some point, we chose to be comedians rather than being an improv artist. Like I did. I was in Toronto, and there was Second City was there, and I took some classes in my first couple of years. I realized, okay, all these people are all scene stealers. Everybody wants to be the center of attention. It's like, okay, if you want to be the center of attention, go do stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I felt that way. So I was trying to make the scenes better, and I had all these assholes. They were always just trying to be like, yeah, we're the funniest. And like, all right, you aren't really, and you're doing this so you can be the cool guy at the office. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So there's a difference between like professionalism. Then you realize when you watch improv, and I still like it. I still think when it's great, but when mm-hmm. It sucks, okay. You know? And we do improv. You should always be in the moment. But like, if you're going to just rely on something to happen magically every single time you get on stage,
you're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. No, I've had so many times when I've thought of something that I thought might be funny, or I get myself in a spot and I'm like, there is no funny way out of the situation. So I'm just going to have to chalk it up to anyway.
Okay. Well, that's why those self-deprecating lines are good. That's why.
I love how you two. I'm just sorry. I had to take a picture.
Oh,
while
did you take a picture?
I need to put this out, and I probably will add this picture later. But Adam's on the recliner. He's kind of got the recliner like footy thing up. Flip is on his desk chair just opposite him, both sharing the little footy stool.
This is comfortable.
I know it is, but what's so cute is that it looks like the two of you are going to like, you know, start doing each other's hair or nails. No, well, like one of these, like,
hey you.
Hey man, you're only gay if you fuck back.
Sleepover. Nice.
Okay, if you just now, for those of you that need a visual, I just spat in my hands.
Okay, wait.
And Flip just got up.
No.
I got to go to the bathroom. I'm trying to see if I could pull this in to the bathroom while I go.
Sweetie, how about you just wait?
No way.
I'll ask Adam questions.
Why don't you take a minute off, and me and Allison will go. You take a minute.
Yeah,
we'll have intimate dialogue about you.
This is
I don't trust either of you, to be
you
honest with you.
He just unplugged me.
He did. He unplugged his
Allison,
earphones.
What's up, baby?
I unplugged me.
Yes.
Look at that massive jage hair shooting out of your pants.
I've got soul glow in between my legs.
You got so much hair out of your vagina, it's coming out of the bottom of your pants.
Yeah, you like that, huh? Bell bottoms.
Two cats.
Sideburns.
I love... Why would you just not bring the... He's so silly. He
now,
actually
have to listen
wants.
To him,
I am
like
in the bathroom right now with the microphone.
Are you trying to pull a freaking Leslie Nielsen?
He can't hear us though, so that's
I
good.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
No, just.
Are you trying to pee right. forever that we can hear it?
Okay, everybody. I got to pee real quick.
Great. This could have been over and done with, and we could have talked.
Everybody,
okay, you
Flip's gonna be gone. We'll try.
Allison,
to
Allison,
while
you're
he's
in charge
gone.
Of the podcast for a minute.
It's the podcast.
Goodness. I feel so honored.
Allison, what are we going to do? I'm kind of lost.
I don't know.
Say,
how many years have you lived in L.A., sir?
You've got moxie, Flip.
Mox, good mox.
Say, pal. Hey,
moxie.
You got a big penis. Look at that. It's not circumcised, considering you're Jewish. I can't see it from here, and I'm only 10 feet away.
It's quite magnificent, yes it is, Adam.
How did you get this magnificent girl to stay with you with that small schmeckle?
Oh, it is not. Are you kidding me? Are you seeing that thing? It's at least a good seven.
Seven.
Seven foot.
Seventh. Seventh.
He's got a 7-centimeter penis. I'm
you
okay with it.
You think you'd be able to
it?
Recognize Flip's penis in a police lineup?
He's going to love that we're talking about his penis.
Would
but
you be
know
able
what?
To
That's
recognize it in a police lineup?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, baby. I said it was a 7-foot penis, baby. You're
Flip,
good.
I just asked her if she'd be able to recognize it in a police lineup.
I would. I definitely would. There is something about his winky eye that is... It is undeniable.
It's like, all right.
Undeniable winky eye.
Who listens
well,
to this? If
hi,
you listen
babe.
To this podcast, please hit me up on my website, adamrichmondcomedy.com.
Welcome
Tell
back,
me that you were
Thank
on
you
Flip's
very
podcast with Allison, and you heard us talking about Flip's winking eye.
A winking
AdamRichmondComedy.com.
Is that what my penis is called now, the winking eye?
Well, because if I was in a lineup, I would just stare deeply into
the eye. As if
she would
recognize your penis in a police lineup.
What would my penis be doing? What did my penis do wrong?
Wouldn't you be wondering that you
That it's
what
in
do?
A lineup.
Oh, you I know what he did? He shot her in the face.
Robbed a bank.
Shot her.
Huh? For those of you who don't know, we just high-fived.
High-fived. Oh, you can't go wrong.
With their penises. It
like the
brilliant.
Nerds from 1974. Hey, you want to take a ride in my jalopy?
This just in, high-five going on over penis.
Do you want to go down to the malt shop?
Sure do, buddy. Maybe we'll have ourselves a malted, maybe a little seltzer. Maybe we'll go do a jig. Maybe we'll go find a girl, you know, one with a nice gam, take her out to the hooch, and maybe get her a little bit of a speakeasy backdoor little rubby-dubby-dub.
I give it, you can take it.
I tell you, whatever I got, you got it too. You got that thing, that star quality, that little twinkle goes, hey, he's got it.
You got a joke like this.
He does. No, I'm like waiting for him to do
the joke.
Have,
that's why we have some material the same. You got
Wait, what joke do I? Oh, the
mine
director.
Mine is the direct. Mine is the producer of Hollywood's going to come in anywhere. Like you got to perform wherever you are.
Okay, wait, hold on. You do your big Hollywood producer bit. I'll do. Hollywood
it's a fucking 1920 okay. producer bit off.
Well, let's see. We'll see how similar they are. Listen, we write stuff that's the same. That's what this is.
Okay, and I'll tell you what. Anybody listening,
you can tell us if you want to tell us who's the victor. You can hit up Flip's website at flipschultz.com.
Good guess. Is Very it? Good guess.
AdamRichmondComedy.com.
Good guess.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, here's mine. So, anyhow, I always, if it's a small crowd, I'll be like, listen, you guys got to perform like it's your best show. You never know when tonight's going to be your night, you know? You never know when a guy in a 3-piece suit wearing a top hat, smoking a cigar, breaks through the door, goes, say, pal, you've got moxie. I see the star of my next feature film. It's an adventure porno, so you've got. Oh, shit, I fucked up. It's a Roger Porn, starring you, some ladies, and Chuck Norris. I call it Missing with Action. Why don't I like more? Ah, I got moxie. Uh-huh. I'm a producer. I fucked up my own joke. Anyhow.
I like it.
But it right. basically goes on. He goes on.
That's funny that you mentioned porn in that, because my bit where I do that kind of character is the premise is, you know, they've been doing like dirty.
I got stoned. I couldn't even do my own joke. That's what happened.
Oh, my God.
That I got lost in. I was like, okay, I'm in a
Do you
want to
rewind? Do you want to rewind and try
no,
again?
No, I don't even want to try that joke. It involves too much work. And he's ready to go. He wants to do it.
You see, the
Come
hand
on,
is up.
I'm in mid-bit.
Basically, the premise. I could turn your mic off very easily.
No, let him do that. That's the best part. That's the part I was waiting for.
That was lying.
That's the best part. Go.
Oh, I didn't realize you're still doing the bit.
No, he had the best part of the bit. He came.
You want me to do it? Now I feel bad.
Now I want you to do it.
Well, now I'm going to do it like in English. Sometimes I see a nickel, think it's a quarter. But I see a quarter, think it's a nickel. Why? Because I think big.
It's one of my favorite lines.
That's
ever.
What we waited for.
It's pretty much, there was way more to it. But go on. All right, I want to hear your director.
No, it's okay. Mine basically is, I just talk about how there have been like porno and dirty films since like the 1920s. And I go, you know, they had to have directors on those films. Do you think the porn directors back then had the same manic energy you always see? When they show directors on the time, like see some guy coming out on set with like big fluffy pants, a beret, and a megaphone, going, "Quiet on the set, people! We're making a porn. We are making a porn. Okay, Lena, darling, Lena. Now, when you're bent over and you're being pounded away from behind like a Chinaman in a mine, do me a favor. Look at the camera. Give a little smile. Little smile. You got pearly white. Show the people at home you're having fun. And Johnny Big Bone, when you're about there pounding, you know, right on that fun little keister, you're about to pull it out and shoot it on her. Why don't you sing the song? You know, I got a gal, she's really fine. I want to make a mine of mine. All right, part of the cooch. We are making a pawn.
I like it. You win that one.
Because I'm not high. If I was high, trust me, it would be a very...
Doesn't even matter. I like it.
Well, thank you very much.
Because it's same thing, though. That one's like, you can do that bit. I say go, you start it, you finish it. You know, like, that's how, that's what a bit is.
Yes. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Also being prepared. Like, you go, give me 10 of those, go do 5 minutes, go. You know? You can do that anytime.
You know what's really
good?
That's
what makes you a comic, to me.
To just have, you could do...
Go. Just go. Be funny. Go. We need you to... okay. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my...
Okay, wait. I'm gonna we're going to have a little funny test. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a random topic.
Yeah.
And you got a riff on this random topic for 30 seconds.
Topic.
And it doesn't have to be brilliant or anything, but let's see if you can find something funny in 30 seconds of a random topic I'm going to give you in about 5 seconds so I can start my...
Pressure.
You ready? You ready? No man has for 30 more. Seconds, for 30 I'm seconds, riff on the topic of tomatoes.
I fucking hate tomatoes, but I can riff on it because I don't fucking like it. You know what else I don't like? I don't like mushrooms. Except for the wacky ones or raisins. I don't like tomatoes being thrown at my face either. But I like to stick my finger in them because I feel like a little bit moist inside. What? If you have to laugh. You can't let the laugh out. I'm supposed to be riffing on tomatoes. You give me a topic. Sorry. I do, however, like I like pizza and tomato sauce. So I like tomato products.
Okay, that's 30 seconds.
I like bruschetta.
That was 30
so
seconds.
When it's like chopped up. So something about actual tomatoes. I think they ruin like the burger. Like whenever I get a burger and I always come with tomatoes, I feel like that's like, it's too dominant. You know what I mean?
No,
it's soggy.
Like,
ugh.
It's too that's what I mean. Like, why do I want wetness in my burger?
I don't like lettuce on burgers because I like lettuce. Oh, I don't like lettuce. I don't like the fact that it's got like the sogginess.
What about,
in the
wait. You don't like, what about ketchup?
I like ketchup.
Ketchup's
what?
Good.
Only on
ketchup.
Fries, but I don't really, I like ketchup, I guess, on a hot dog. I don't really ketchup on my burger.
So you just like your burger plain with lettuce?
No, lettuce, mayo, cheese, bacon.
Mayo's wet. Mayo's wet.
Yeah,
not
but it's
wet,
not gooey.
Wet, like,
it doesn't
wet, like soggy.
Well, no, if you get a
like
shitty
juice.
Tomato, if you get a shitty
yeah,
tomato, but you got to get a nice crisp
like
tomato.
You know, there was actually a brilliant show not long ago that we saw at Flappers where they did this exact kind
Flappers.
Of thing.
Hello, wacky.
It was called like the one word show or something like that.
Oh, that's right,
and
that's right.
Basically they had like a hat with all different words on it. And the comic would not know anything about this. They would randomly pick from the hat and they would have to riff for 5 minutes completely improv on that particular topic.
I would easily pick up a word, pretend it's one of my bits. Oh,
that's
what
she did. That's what she did.
Coconuts. That's so funny.
No, it was kind of actually, well, I had gone to Flappers specifically. I was doing the open mic night, and for the first time ever, I was putting my guitar down and going to go up and do jokes I'd actually written. And I was all in that mode to do it, and I got pulled in by these guys to do the one-word show. And when they said it's got to be improv, you got to just riff on the topic, I went, I finally got up the freaking gumption to put down my guitar. I can't, like, stray from what my thought was.
That's the show
like
they
I,
wanted you to do that.
That was the
night.
Show they wanted me to do. Yeah, well, no, the thing was, is I came for the open mic, but this was also going on, so they pulled me in. And
they pulled me in.
Well, and I just ended up making everything that I'd already thought of to discuss naturally on the open mic night about punk. I said punk, and then I would go into my bit. Yeah. So it was perfect.
You know who's a punk? My husband. Here's stories about him.
That was basically it.
It was
how would
punk,
I segue?
That's what I called my vagina in 1984.
Actually, that's the last line
in
of 84? My vagina song.
I thought maybe I don't know what age she was.
Don't be a punk and keep eating my vagina even though I queefed on you. That's the last line of my
which is
closer.
Also the message that
you
everybody should take home from this podcast is
at this podcast, everybody.
The podcast.
Buddy, that's also what we do, me and you, Flip. Because I
hot sauce.
I have this hot sauce
character. It's such a funny bit.
It's about this how I have this Iranian hot dog van. This is true in Toronto because wasn't and I translated to Los Angeles and it seemed like it worked because everybody knew this guy from some sort of city.
Well, I think you initially said Armenian,
right?
Well, and that's why it made it work in LA.
I think I have this Iranian hot dog vendor that works near my house, and he thinks I'm a wimp because I don't put enough hot sauce on my sausage. And every day he's like, buddy, what are you fucking pussy? Buddy, don't do the hot sauce, buddy. Hot sauce.
Hot sauce, buddy. Hot sauce, buddy.
Buddy, put some hot sauce on that, buddy. Don't be a fucking pussy, buddy. Hot sauce. Put some hair in your chest, buddy. Hot sauce.
Why do they call everybody buddy?
Because they like it, because that's
and bro,
the name.
Bro.
Because
buddy, you want to share this dirty
bro.
Needle with the syphilis-ridden heroin junkies? What are you fucking pussy, buddy? Hot sauce. Buddy, what do you want to unprotected sex with disease-infested Tibetan hookers? What are you fucking pussy, buddy? Hot sauce. Buddy, what? You don't want to take this bomb, strap it to your chest, walk into a public place and blow yourself up? What are you fucking pussy, buddy? What's up, buddy? And I think that was one of the first jokes I was doing here that everybody, it's addicting. And some of my friends in Toronto that I was doing that joke by then, I was like, buddy! Buddy!
Buddy!
You're like, buddy! now every time I see him.
That's how I first knew you from him. He's like, oh, yeah, my friend.
There's literally about 25 people that I can pick up the phone. Like, if I called them right now, they pick up the phone, they'd go, Bobby!
That's what I usually say when I see you to this day.
Do you want to make one test?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's see. I'm going to call.
Adam is taking out a cell phone right now. I think he's going to.
Kelly, we'll put it on speakerphone. We'll see if he answers the phone and just.
This
says,
is becoming a call-in show, everybody.
Let's do it.
And I was using a computer. This we're getting up here. We should maybe upload some pictures every now and again.
I don't know if we.
People
I don't know
could
if this
see
this.
Maybe I'll maybe give me that picture you took of the two of us on the recliner.
Well,
send
here,
it to me.
Take
email
a
it to me, and I'll
take
put
a peeky and see what you think.
I'm
I got
sure
a
it's fine,
of,
honey.
I got a couple
let's
of good
see
ones.
My buddy Kelly answers the phone.
Okay.
And says something.
Can we put it up to
the phone? Says buddy. Can you hear that? Can you hear it?
I hear it. Yep.
Towards the bottom, or maybe to the earpiece.
That's awesome.
That was freaking epic.
That's awesome, buddy.
You gotta tell him what's going on.
Okay,
now.
Well, call him
Kelly,
back.
Kelly, I'm
gonna
call you back, but I just want you just proved a point.
That's
we're,
awesome.
I said to my friends, I'm doing a podcast, and I said there's about a certain amount of people that I'll call, and as soon as I say hello, they answer the phone. They're like, Bobby!
That's.
Yeah, you did it, man. I'm gonna call you back in a bit, man. You're awesome.
It's fucking hilarious.
Hey, everybody.
Freaking brilliant.
That was awesome.
Wow.
Oh, man, that's perfect. And the way he did it, too, he didn't just say buddy. He was like, hey, buddy. He was like, buddy.
I know, he had the accent with it, too. Buddy!
That's the name of your CD, by the way.
Buddy!
Or t-shirts.
I don't do it enough in my act, really, because I don't do the hot sauce joke that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You got sick of telling it?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Or just, you know, it's still there, and I have no hesitation to bring it back. But you look, you work on what you're working on.
Yeah,
know?
No, totally, totally.
I did a show, I did like a half an hour for people that, and I was like, and I'm still picking and choosing, you know, I have a lot of material now. And I like that half an hour, but I could do a different half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I could do almost an older half an hour that brings back some of these jokes that I would do.
Dude, I've got.
I am seeing a picture in my mind, though, of a t-shirt, hot sauce, buddy, hot sauce.
Buddy, hot sauce,
and then like, if
buddy.
You could spell hot where you include the ch- Do you know what I'm saying? Oh,
right.
That might be, I don't know. Sorry, keep going. I was just, I'm envisioning this. I was like, I'll fucking wear a hot sauce, buddy, hot sauce shirt. It's almost like the epic mealtime guys where they have bacon strips and bacon strips and bacon strips. And it just, that's all the shirt says. It says nothing more. Bacon strips. It says it like four or five times. And it's fucking getting eaten up. People love it. Hot sauce, buddy,
hot sauce. Buddy. Sometimes people don't want to buy my horny frog shirt because it says the word horny on it. And they're worried about their kids wondering what horny is. And I go, why don't you just tell them it's how you were feeling when you made them?
There you go.
You know?
See, I always had that, I used to have that, I'm not sure if you remember that Kanye shirt I used to sell. The front says, if you Kanye me one more time, back says, and Chris Brown the shit out of you. But I never said shit. It's like S-H, you know, or S, you know, dash, dash, T. Because I'm like, I don't want to wear a shirt that says the word shit on it. I wouldn't want to wear it.
Right. Yeah.
So I figure nobody else would. But when you have that little kind of like loophole, like S, dash, dash, people are eating them up.
We don't really know what you're saying.
We know what you're saying, but we're not wearing it.
The kids won't know. That's the point. The kids won't know.
Oh, the kids know. Everybody's underestimating the intelligence and filthiness of the children nowadays. The internet has... it's not... And I cannot believe I'm saying this. It's not like it was when we were younger. We didn't have immediate access to all of the filth that is out there, including myself.
True.
So kids know... The kids know more words than we do. I guarantee it.
Right now?
Yeah.
No, kids are fucking retarded. Kids now, but this other generation, like these 20s, like late teens, 20s, don't.
The ones that were raised in the 90s, that were born in the 90s.
They don't? You don't think they know as many filthy words as we do?
Oh, filthy words. Oh,
what
sorry.
Are you talking about?
I was talking about like actual language. Like,
oh,
like,
no, not language.
Like being smarter and like
no,
actually
no, no.
knowing
filthy
things.
Words. They probably know filthy words you've
that
never heard of.
That was my stoner brain skipping that part where I heard the filthy part.
No, I guarantee you, they know filthy words we've never heard. Like, yo, dude, I was over at Sharon's house. I totally flakinkied all over her.
I want to 180 this conversation because I want to ask you guys what you think because I was talking about jokes, like comedy, and how I really felt about it. And it was a really passionate discussion the other day with somebody. And I ended up saying, which made sense to me, is like, I feel like, and this is a good way to relate it to like, you know, the nerd comic book loving people, is that like comedians in a way are like, all have superpowers. And everybody's different, you know? And they're all like members of the Justice League. And sometimes they need to be sent on different missions. And you look at the batch of comedians and you're like, which one has to be sent to this mission? Okay, we got a church group. There's 200 people. They want someone who's not clean, not dirty, but it doesn't have to. You can be a little edgy. you know, and some, you know, who do we send? All right, let's send Flip, you know, and then you go, okay, we need an, we have an ethnic crew. We need, you know, so whatever. You find the comedian. Like, we need this guy. We need this guy to be. We need a girl. You know, we need a female. Can she play guitar? Okay, we got Allison. You know, boom. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is, there's a mission.
Okay,
for
we
everybody.
Need somebody really loud and abrasive who's going to go on stage and just wipe everybody out with energy. Well, there's Adam. There we go.
That's about it. That's about it. Representing Richmond. Why not? Whatever. We need somebody that you know is going to do shows. So that's how I feel about it. And we all have our own superpowers. Like, we do things differently. You know, right now, I feel like as I accelerate, there's, you know, I can only vouch for so many people because I know what I'm bringing to the show. I know when I go do my job, I know what I'm putting out and what I'm getting from the people. So it's like, unless somebody's putting out what I'm putting out, how do I recommend them, you know? I don't want to tell, like, a club or somebody.
I would never recommend anybody I haven't seen before.
No, for sure, not everyone I've seen. But, I mean, like, with between you and I, like, I know that you can do the job. If I have a gig an hour away and for a few $100 and something happened to me and I can't do it and I need somebody to do it, I called you and you're free, I know you can do the job for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I said to you, it's like, okay, the mission is, hey, this is Batman calling from the JLA headquarters. I need you, Flip. I don't know why Batman.
Why Batman's Jewish all of a sudden?
Like, no, Batman.
Flip, it's Batman over here. My utility belt's acting up.
To Stockton, California.
Is that Batman?
I don't know. He's very
sounds like the movie preview guy.
How about Batman like this? Hello, would you trust Batman? It's like, hey, Flip, it's Batman.
I like the Adam West Batman. Robin, we've got to get over.
I told Flip I have a premise of a joke about how the superhero movies are always the same because the superhero can't have love in his life out of fear they're going to get hurt. It's like, don't get too close. My life is too dangerous. But on that token, like, everyone's got to get laid, right? Something like the superhero's got some chicks on the side that he doesn't give a shit about. It's like, yeah, I'm totally going to call that bitch from Gotham Cafe. I don't give a fuck what happens to her. He's like, oh, Batman, you're so dreamy. Thanks a lot, babe. Shit, she's dead.
Wait, you know what?
That sucks.
You know, might be a. I said to him, it's a great premise. You know, what might be a funnier way to take that, or a different way to
for
look
the
at
Batman
it.
Batman part.
No.
There's another part because.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I step on something?
He's not just heckling. Snarfy, snarf. I'm gonna interrupt. No. Well, I'm sorry. I will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I have one more line then.
Sorry. I'm
but
sorry.
I'm
I thought
right.
That was
no,
the
if
end.
You want to heckle?
No.
Okay. Now listen. If there's only like an audience of you two, this shows my improv skills. It shows I can go back to my act. And at any time, my
such
improv skills are brilliant. Even though you got me completely stoned on your couches.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Finish
the tag is so Batman basically is like, you know, I act out that he sees her. Oh shit, she's dead. That sucks. I have to fight crime, and he jumps away. And I don't even think that's so funny. But the next line is what I think is funny. And I'm like, imagine if you were Superman. How easy would it be to get rid of a dead body? You just fly it out to the Earth's atmosphere and let it go. Till that one faithful day, Houston, we have a problem. There seems to be 96 dead hookers floating around the rings of Saturn. Somebody get the kryptonite.
That's
my favorite part.
That's funny too.
Yeah, but what I could do more with Batman.
Well, but no, I was thinking with the Batman is if instead of going like doing the bullet and everything, what if like the Joker, somebody calls him, Batman, we have that girl that you met at the Gotham Cafe last night, and we're going to kill her. Click.
Bad phone off.
Oh, you know what? Going through a tunnel, can't talk right. Click. And Joker's like, he hung up. And she's like, but he told me he loved me. Well, you're dead now, or something like that.
Who would it be? Like, what would it be a realistic place they would see Batman? Now I'm actually thinking, this is how my brain thinks. Like, where would Batman be with a girl? You know, like, because he doesn't know he's Bruce Wayne. So now all of a sudden we're off of the other thing. What I liked about my actual Superman joke.
Dark bar?
Okay, sorry.
What I liked about my Superman joke is that in my head, I have this whole thing about, like, you know, astronauts are flying down. They cross Saturn. Like, what the fuck? They see, like, all these dead bodies of hookers. And they're like, uh-oh. Yeah, Superman's on the prowl again. Oh, somebody get the kryptonite, as if they've got like kryptonite waiting for them in case this one day they had to get.
Like Superman.
You know what I mean? Like, case Superman went haywire. Okay, yeah. Guys, here it is.
We've been holding this.
Yeah.
For this
somebody get the kryptonite.
Day.
Oh, and there's one guy back in the office like, yes! I knew it!
Yeah, I like it.
What if it was like a
like one of the satellites going out towards Saturn. And the NASA guy's like, so what readings did you get from the ring of Saturn? Well, there's a lot of ice. There's some water particles, and there's 97 dead hookers.
Yeah. It's a meteor shower, you know, like,
and then it just starts raining hookers. See,
that's why
it starts raining.
Now we're talking about like a whole comic book of it, you know, like how do I can't even do this as a joke anymore. He starts swatting them down. Do you remember the famous hooker rain of 2012?
It's raining hookers. Hallelujah!
You knew that was coming. It's raining. That's it.
It's raining whores. Hallelujah.
That's like pieces of them are just falling down. Like the fishnets come. People are like, what the fuck?
I remember.
Well, that's the thing about creativity. It's like even us, we can sit here and talk for hours. I think you got this for like an hour. There's no limit to where you can go, what you can talk about. That's why when you have like, what's for dinner? I don't know. We haven't even mentioned that. What's for dinner? Are you guys actually making me food?
Do you want me to make you food? I'll
sure,
make food.
Sure, fucking do this.
Oh, don't tempt her. She really will make you food.
I'll
right
make
now.
Food.
I'm good right now.
I don't have to leave until 6.
But what I was saying is you are like, I look at comedy like, you know, it's an empty canvas that could just be filled with whatever you want. And for me, it's like I have some jokes that are there, but they kind of move around too. They shake, and you know, I can add stuff whenever I want, pull stuff out. So kind of
go with
the flow.
Are you giving an iPhone app reference with the they shake and then
I don't know. I don't have an
them?
iPhone, so I'm not making any. I'm making reference.
You have joke. Wait, you have iPhone jokes, but you don't own an iPhone.
No, it's a. If anything, it's tie dye on acid. That's what it looks like to me.
Because that's what you do with the iPhone is like, they're all there, but then they shake when you're getting ready to move them.
Whatever.
And that was what you just said.
Words?
The iPhone apps? Well, no, like with apps. And you just said that with your jokes, you have them, and they're like, they're up, and they're able to be moved around.
That's
just
how my brain
shake.
Works. We're getting into the intricacies of, you know, the cranium, whereas, like, that's how I look at my creativity. It's like, where is everything going? I try to make sense of my segues, also knowing that you don't really have to. But when I'm on a point, like when I'm in my zone about, you know, my rants about political correctness and don't be an asshole and I'm judging you for you and don't be a schnarfer, that stuff is a through line. So I feel when things, you know, when you write stuff for that, it comes in, okay, this is a good place for it,
yeah.
You know, and then it doesn't, otherwise I can't just jump into a stupid, goofy joke, you know, in the middle of this, it doesn't work. You know, if I'm really trying to sell a point, you know, and I feel this way. And then I actually say stuff about like God and religion. They're actually listening to me. You know, you got to know that you got them. So it's like there's, you know what I mean? It's like that's part of your own palette or your own canvas of where you're going to place things. And then afterwards, go back to being goofy because you got them. And because I also don't want to be preachy for a fucking hour either.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be that.
What do you say your comedy is? You think it's just, is it all just lighthearted or are you trying to make some points with it?
There you are.
Hello?
What do you. But I'm trying. Well, what do you ask me? Am I trying to make some?
Right when I tried to ask a serious question, I was like, "Can I get more puff, please?"
No, I was thinking about her mic.
Am I on?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I just couldn't hear. I didn't know
hello.
yeah, that's what I need more.
No, just asking with your comedy, like, because I know for me, 90% of the time, I just want to make people laugh, and there's 10% where I'm really talking about something that's important to me, and that's kind of where I find my balance. It's more about just having make sure they're having a good time. And then, but sprinkle in some things that I really want to get across. What do you say your act is?
That's actually a fucking great question because I think I for about 10 to 12 years I was doing that, just making people laugh. And then in the last 3 years it changed, and I was always throwing stuff in. There was always stuff that was opinionated. You know, there was always a few here and there, but they were all by themselves. You know, they were like individual, like they, if that's my canvas, they're all like, you know, surrounded and they didn't really have a place, you know, and then all of a sudden I started having real things that I really felt like saying. I was like, if you're up there and you got these people and they're listening to you and not talking about like in 10 minutes or 50 minutes, but oh, man, I'm up here for an hour. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So if you're going to keep them interested, you know, like say something at the end where afterwards they feel they've been left with something. And I have people now coming up to me thanking me for my politics, saying stuff because I started talking about stuff that was real about, you know, like...
So would you say now it's like half-half, 50-50?
It's maybe not half-half. It's probably more like still... Well, it depends. There's still all something truthful to everything in a way.
Yeah.
Except for like my impressions are goofy, but like, you know, like I do a joke about coconuts killing more people than sharks per year. That's a goofy joke, but the truth is coconuts kill more people than sharks. You know?
What, from falling out of trees on
falling
the people?
From a tree,
no,
like
when people
island.
Go swimming, the coconuts just fucking get them.
Just chomp on their
that's
legs.
Why Spielberg,
that's even funnier.
Spielberg's coming out with a new movie called Nuts. It's just like... Just
you see this brown...
It's just a brown coconut going through the ocean.
That's how it gets its milk.
Have you not seen my joke about the more people get killed per year by a coconut than a shark? Which means the only one thing. There should be more, way more horror movies about coconuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize you had that tag to it.
You haven't seen that joke where I drop the coconut? I pretend like I'm on the island. I'm going, man, this island sucks. What the hell was that? And then I drop the mic and go, and then I go, what's going on out there? And then I dangle the coconut above my head and go, and I'm like, what? In it? What? In it? What? In it? 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 And then I look up, and I drop the microphone.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then I fall on the ground and go, in a world where nothing is quite what it seems, one man struggles to make a difference. This summer, Antonio Banderas is the Loco Coco Nut.
Folks.
Right? My God, you're quite the joko nut.
And then sometimes, if I want to go forward, I sometimes walk to the girl on the front and go, see the local coconut at his most seductive. And I get close. I'm like, it's now time for you to suck on my left testicle, not the right one. Because if you were sucking on my left testicle, that would be the right one.
Loco coco.
Loco coco.
That should be the after every line.
Loco
coco.
That's funny. See, Flip's a good tag writer for me, I find, because of our brain thinking the same.
I tag for a lot of guys.
You ever see me do that joke?
You know, I remember it now. Yeah.
And that joke is a staple of my act, because that's fun and goofy. That's like should be on Comedy Central. That's kind of like a joke.
So you're about like 65-35.
Probably something like that. Yeah.
You know what? Now I was thinking about it more. I said 90-10. That was a while ago. I think now I'm about the same, like 65-35. 65 still just plain goofy. 35. Stuff that means important to me now, because I mean, fuck. We're
but also,
older.
It's like if it's even stuff that's really my political side. It ends up saying like, don't be, you know, I'm telling people don't be an idiot. Like I have this rant that if people are with me, like if they're with me, I call back to it because I talk about kids playing t-ball and everyone gets in a bat, and then I talk about the word fag and how everyone they banned a song in Canada because people don't like the word faggot. It's like, oh, and like I go, why don't you like something? It's just a word, you know, with no malice behind it. It can also be very fucking funny. I go, what happened in this world? You're not allowed to offend people. What if I don't like you and want to offend you?
Yeah.
You know, it's not illegal. It's like, okay, you're offended, now what? And I've realized the power of that. Like, I'm saying it. If you don't like it, okay, fine. What do we do about it? You know?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to kill me. Unless you got a gun to my face. I'll agree with anything you want. If you got a gun at me, you're going to hurt me. I agree with your philosophy. Sure. Whatever. It's all good. You can have whatever you want. But in reality... If you don't like it, you know, don't watch it, don't read it, don't buy it, don't eat it, you know?
That's
just
funny.
Stop snarfing the pros.
What
like,
if there was a guy
lead?
that was that stubborn? He had a gun to his head, and the guy's like, I don't care what you say. I don't like Breaking Bad. And the guy's like, I will blow your blow it out. I don't like that show. Yeah. And that's why he dies. He stood by his principles because he didn't like Breaking
Bad. And that's fine. And that's specific. Yeah, he stuck by your principles. But I'm saying now you get the point. You are not going to make everybody happy, man. You are not. No. And people have different philosophies than me. And I grew up well. I grew up with good parents. And I have nice people in my life. And I've got a good family and good friends. So I know I'm surrounded by good people. And I'm putting good shit out there. What I have to say has been tested now and proved. And I feel like, you know, all I'm telling you is be a good person. Don't be a schnarfer. Don't be an asshole. I'm judging you for you. These are all really positive things, and I felt like they had to be said in my act. And then when they're with me, I was saying, when they're with me, and I was like, I pretend like in choreography terms, like I know they're with me. They're laughing. I just got like an applause mic. So if they're really with me, I turn around like I'm going to start something else, like grab the microphone stand, and then I turn back, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And another thing, for all you crazy God lovers out there, do you honestly think there's a God out there who's pissed off at us because we wear condoms or we decide who we want to love or we decide what goes in and on in our own...
What?
It's like, I don't fucking think so. If there's a God out there, he's pissed off at us because we build giant bombs and we kill each other and we glorify this violence in our TV and our movies and our video games. Like, I'm not worried about the kids in my family because it's my family and we're smart. I'm worried about your faggy kids who suck at T-ball and are getting fat because Cookie Monster's singing about cookies. You know? Just remember... remember, it's your fault that your life sucks. Your fault. So stop blaming other people for your fucking your problems. Remember, the peace of mind comes from within. And as soon as you remember that, it's then and only then you'll achieve true happiness. Namaste, bitches.
Drop the mic.
Right?
Peace. I fucking love it.
And and it was like one of those things. They're with me, like, wow.
Oh, I bet.
You know, come on. That's a good statement. But it's like, you can't say that unless I've been killing for 40 minutes, you know? Yeah. And I have them.
You should open with that and see what happens.
You know what I mean? Right. What a great test of what we know about stand up that is, you know, because I get an applause break for that. And what did I just say there? I didn't really get into it. And it's another thing about them being too preachy, because there's a couple things I said in there I don't find funny. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said that we're on podcast. You guys get me. You know what I'm talking about. But like, I don't find funny. Like, I just said that they're going to, you know, there's a guy out there who's pissed off because we wear condoms, or we decide what we do in our own body, or we decide who we want to love. Like, that's, I'm not really going to get into the debate about that, but that's it. No, you can love whoever you want. Be gay, be gay. And I say stuff about that even later on, you know, be straight, be straight. Be who you're going to be. Abortions, it's your body, your life. That's bottom line. Like, but I don't really want to get into that because it becomes too preachy. We know that. We talk about that in life. That's the people I hang out with. Like, of course, I don't have anybody in my life that really is like, no, she can't get an abortion. No, you can't do whatever you want with your body. No, I'm going to interfere.
Yeah,
no.
There's.
Yeah.
Nobody's.
I don't know
like
anybody
that,
in my
right?
family like that.
But so. You know, so that's a choice, too, a creative choice at that point. You know, make you clear. I mean, if you're paying attention to that, that's what I've said. So anything left behind, if we really break it down, like Adam Richman said this. Well, what did I say? I stick to my guns on that. Yeah, I believe love whoever you want. I believe there's nothing wrong with wearing a condom if you're Catholic. And I believe you can do whatever you want with your body. If you get fucking raped or if you just get pregnant. There's enough kids in this world. We all, you know, need to have procreate. So. I don't know. I'm proud of these points.
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of
I'll be honest,
say,
I wasn't listening.
And once you say, well, once you say it, I guess, once you say it and you believe in it, that's part of comedy. If you believe it, what can they do about it, you know? What can they do to you? Like
nothing. It's I think everybody is we're all our own selves internally, and nobody could take that away from us or try to force that part of us, that internal part of us, to do or feel or think anything we truly don't.
And I didn't feel about this way doing this like 5 years ago. I felt it coming, you know? I always feel like winds of change every few years.
Well, you know what? For me, it's just been influential. Like, there have been a lot of comics recently that I've really grown to love and respect, like Louis and Doug Stanhope and these guys who I think are brilliant at what they do with taking either the mundane or the extreme and presenting it in a very funny but smart personal way. Things that really mean something to them.
Absolutely.
And
we just don't want to get to the point where we're angry like Carlin was in his last like 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 'cause he's right. Everything Carlin says by the end was right.
Was right.
But it becomes so cynical. It's not funny anymore.
Exactly. It
we
lost
still have a job
charm.
To do. Well, that's basically what I'm saying to you right now is I can do this as long as it's funny. You know, all the stuff I just said to you, we're in a different context here, but you know, maybe my, you know, that long thing about God was long, but in the context of when I do it as like a 30-second interval, it works. You
it
know?
Makes sense, yeah.
Right, it makes sense. And then go, and as long as it's getting laughs, you know, then I do it. If it's not funny, you don't do it. You still have to make people laugh. I'm well aware of that. No doubt.
The thing that I find so
that's why we are exactly that's why we're the same. We're old school. We believe in the history of it. We believe in like the
in the art of
it,
in the science of
it, how it should be presented.
Yeah, yeah. What pisses me off is when I hear comics going, "Fuck the audience. I want to get up there for me." I'm like, you're forgetting.
Yeah.
Without them, you don't have a career.
Or someone goes, "I only work clean." Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Because sometimes you got to work dirty.
And this is the other way too. Some guys like, "I only work dirty." Well, then you're going to limit yourself where you can work.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a very small niche audience because there are a lot of people who don't like constant dirt. But when you can walk the line and go either way and sustain it, dirty for an hour, clean for an hour, that's when you're fucking pro.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what? I think, oh my goodness, we're done with dinner.
Wait, we can just talk for more hours.
We can talk.
You want to keep talking? Okay. Do you have any place to go?
Do you have any place to go? I got nowhere.
How long is it? How long have we been doing?
We're about an hour now.
We do a few more minutes.
But we can keep going.
Sure, man. I mean, this is good.
Does anybody want nibbles? I'll go get nibbles.
You have funny. Two nibbles right now. Honey.
Oh, my God. We got some nibbles.
I'll get.
Are you hungry?
Have you ever had a frozen grape?
Eat. I could. I was thinking about going out somewhere. You guys want to go out to eat? Shabbos. I have to leave at 6,
no matter what. I have a show in Garden Grove.
Oh, my God. Garden Grove. Where's Garden Grove?
By the way, to anybody listening, it's not tonight. So when you're listening to this, don't go, oh, let's go to Garden Grove. It's, the show was 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, whenever you play this.
Dude, no, actually, have you ever had a frozen grape?
I probably have in my life had a frozen grape.
They are amazing. It's like the new, like, healthy, like, treat.
You
want
to bring one over?
Yes,
so
go get some frozen grapes, honey.
Go, honey. Get us. Listen, bitch. Get us some frozen grapes.
No, let me tell
you. I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave.
She's got the tuchus. I got lucky with this one. I'm dead serious, man.
I know. You actually, as a couple, I will say that you make me, you know, give me a little strength in thinking about the future when there's nice couples to be found in Los Angeles. It's a very difficult place to find the right girl, and I like to see that. I know a few people have found some good couplehood. Gives me hope, a little hope.
Oh, we're the biggest couple in the hood, or something. I don't know what that
means. Happy people, but you know what?
Married,
let me tell you this.
Happy
when I was
people.
Doing a joke about my parents before getting divorced, and I will say that I am way better off for my parents being divorced, and I would be a totally different person had I had my stepfather and my stepsisters and my whole family involved, you know, in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So it's like some people look at that like always it's such a shitty, terrible thing. It's like turned into a great thing for me. So
how old were you when they got divorced?
I was like 5 years old.
Oh, well, I think young enough to where it really wouldn't affect you too much.
I got a frozen grape.
Okay, Adam is putting the... Did you put it in your mouth?
No. What do you do? Put the whole thing in your mouth?
No, you shove it up your ass. It's a different way of eating grapes.
Oh. He's wearing so cold.
It's very cold. That's why I don't eat them.
It's frozen, douchebag. I'm going to get down.
Is it a little hard to chew because it's frozen?
What is that? It feels so weird.
See, I like them.
Dude, your face looks like you're fucking a lemon right now.
Oh, lemon. Oh, my God. Oh. You know what's good about fucking lemons? Mm-hmm. You can come inside a lemon. Hello! Who writes this stuff? Nobody.
I'm just...
Shedazzle.
I'm trying to see what the humor... Like, best throat. Part about fucking a lemon is you could come in a lemon.
Come inside.
Well, I mean, technically, that's true. I could fuck this and come inside it. So they're really...
What is it? Incidentally, Flip just held out Allison. You remember, nobody's filming that. I just fucked this. Oh, Allison? That's terrible, man.
No, this is a little light for it.
You know what's funny? I always tell my there's mothers in the crowd. I go, mothers, you're so funny about you always get offended with dirty jokes. Like, why? You're the biggest sluts of all, mom. Seriously. Seriously, mothers, biggest sluts of all. Think about it. Yeah. When you're a mother, think about it. That means you fuck without a condom and you let him come inside. Oh, my God, you little dirty whore.
I say something like, when there are older people, like older people in the audience, I go, you know, I don't know why comedians get weird when there are older people in the audience. Like you haven't heard, most of this shit you probably invented. You know, it's like, yeah, well, Queef and we have that back in our day. We called it the old popcorn snap, but we still know what you're talking about. That's just funny. Like the old popcorn snap.
I have a joke similar to it. It's like,
Shut the fuck up.
I swear to God, not popcorn snap, but it's about old people. Oh, people are offended to tell comedians weird about telling dirty jokes with old people in the crowd. It's like, why? Older people fuck? If they didn't fuck, none of us would be here tonight. No. In fact, why do you think there's so few older people here tonight? They're home right now, fucking.
Funny.
And I always point to some older couple in the front row and go, look at this guy. He's like, he's right, honey. Let's get the hell out of here. This is stupid. I don't even know why we're here.
Your dad was there? Or was that your mom?
And his wife's like, okay, dear, just pop the Viagra now so it's ready by the time we get there.
I love it.
I like how he's fucking the neighbor from the Hogan family.
All right, dear.
Do you like this or is it too cold for
you?
You
know what? I'm good. The one experiment was great. I appreciate it.
I think you're the only one who likes these, honey, because I hate them, too.
Mm. You know what?
Somebody told me about them. The thing is, I think if you have, like, sensitive teeth,
My teeth are very sensitive. Yeah. They don't like black people.
I have racist teeth. Why are they white? You know what is funny? I was told, this is funny to me. Let's be clear that
I just really, what I said was racist. It wasn't sensitive. My teeth aren't sensitive.
I would
racist.
Love like truths of things. Like I'm judging. First of all, if anyone's listening doesn't know me, I judge you for you. I do a joke about my sister, my brother-in-law, who's I talk about the term African-American. I'm like, African-American, you're not. It's black people. You know, my sister married a black guy. He's from the islands. He's also Canadian. How to refer to him? This is my brother-in-law. He's Grenadian-Canadian.
Grenadian?
Grenadian-Canadian.
Grenadian-Canadian?
He's a black guy from the islands. He's not either African or American.
I thought you meant he was from Grenada.
He is from Grenada.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's Grenadian.
The islands.
Oh, I don't know what you meant by
Grenada,
the
Grenada is the island. Well, that's why when you're writing the joke, you don't want to give the punchline of Grenada earlier.
Well, is Grenada an island?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
Do in the you Caribbean. Want an oat cran?
I love it. We're just like, it's like we're just saying, I'm good for now, thanks. But so back to my anti-racism, as you're being racist. I would love
I'm
to
not, by the way, I'm not racist.
Saturday Night Live sketch or something. Where I wanted to find a way to either make this a premise of a joke or make a Saturday Night Live sketch. But we're watching the debates, right? And it's Obama and Romney, and they're battling back and forth. And it shows the approval rating, like bouncing back and forth, like 51, 49, 50, 50, 52, 50, 48, you know, 53, 46. You know, it's always back and forth. And it's just all of them saying stupid jargon, like this and that, agreeing and this. And all of a sudden, Romney just turns to the camera. And he's like, and you want the truth, America? The truth is that American people would be happier with a white president. Approval rating immediately shoots up to like 85%, and Obama's down to 15.
Oh my God!
Oh, come on.
Awful.
That would be. I know, but that was what Saturday
you know
Night
what?
Live
you know
would
what's
do.
Sad?
Saturday Night Live would do that on a sketch, you know, make and that would be funny.
I don't think Saturday Night Live would do that.
No,
that's it. Maybe in the early days.
Well,
did you ever see that sketch
that
with Richard
Pryor? Wait, to me.
Did you ever see the sketch?
And
with,
I told that to my friend Ty last night. He enjoyed it. So, hey.
Did you ever see the sketch with Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase from like the first season, where Richard
Honky.
Pryor, Richard, what?
Honky.
Yeah, where Richard Pryor was going in for a job interview and Chevy Chase was interviewing him. And Chevy Chase is like, we're doing a simple word association. So I say one word, you say the word that pops into your head. And he goes like, you know, red. And Pryor's like,
Nick.
White. And he goes, okay, apple, orange. And then he goes like, porch monkey. Pryor's like, huh? Offended. And then it goes on, and then Chevy Chase actually says the N-word. Uh-huh. And no, he goes like, Chevy Chase goes something like, tar baby. Like, and they get into it, and he's like, tar baby. And Pryor goes, honky.
Yeah,
and then Chevy Chase says the N-word, and he goes, dead honky.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So,
you know, that was the
that
best
was
time for
so fucking so edgy for the time.
But that was when
but
comedy
you
was
could
allowed.
Never do that today. On network TV, on SNL, you could never say the
N-word. I know,
N-word.
That's why it was a good time for comedy. That was the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Late 70s?
Mid-70s.
Mid-70s,
like 75
we like,
when
we
came
like
out.
Two?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It started in 75.
75, that
but
was
speaking
that.
Of 70s right now, it's time to bring in a man in his 70s for a little part of the show we call The Skippy Green Show.
Uh-oh.
It's The Skippy Green Show.
Adam Richman, as I live and breathe. How are you?
Fuck you, Skippy.
Don't. First of all, don't ever try to do me to me. Secondly, you say fuck you to me.
Come on, Skippy.
You're ruining
I'm
your
a
business.
Big, I'm a bigger
you're ruining.
Fan of
hey,
flip.
Hey, here's
you
know, the part
you know
where
what
I
I'm
talk.
Saying, Skippy, every
here's
time you come
the part
here.
Where I talk. You keep that Canadian trap shut. Pretend you're a mongoose and you just got caught in your own fur
I'm
trap.
A mime.
Good.
Well,
terrible
the convention going on in fucking Asia.
Anyway, here's a little part called The Skippy Green Show. Pay attention. Answer the following question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words exactly. Are you ready?
I got you.
Take the dick out of your throat and answer the question clearly. If you could have sex behind in a dumpster behind any fast food restaurant, what restaurant would it be and why? 10 words.
Times.
So many options of restaurants.
Popeyes.
Got 9 words left.
Because I love fried chicken. Well, I'm greasily fucking.
Greasily. One of the best best uses of the word greasily.
Greasily fucking.
Adam Richman, thanks so much for being on the show, buddy. As
my
always,
AdamRichmanComedy.com.
You're on Facebook and Twitter and all that fun
that's
shit.
My Facebook URL is AdamRichmanComedy.com.
Excellent. Allison Weber as always.
Allison.
Dirty oh, guitar
it's
girl.
So funny to be
DirtyGuitarGirl.com.
After so long, girl.
And guys, you know me. You can always check me out at flipisfunny.com. They're just being goofy. And remember, guys, we're going to be moving the show to the GoCast Network very soon. So maybe you're hearing this already on the GoCast Network, because I'm not sure when this is going to air. But either way, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the constant support. And we'll see you next week on What's for Dinner. Bye, bitches.
Peace out, Warren.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.